Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying the book of Philippians, Bondservants of Jesus Christ. In this session, we'll be looking at Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, the results of trust, part 1. Let's read that first verse. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Paul is thinking of believers he personally led to Christ, either directly or indirectly. His thoughts of them are beloved and longed for. What is his command to the believers at Philippi? Demonstrate trust. He told them to stand fast in the Lord. Why did the apostle give that exhortation? Well, they're objects of genuine love. Look at verse 8. For God is my witness For God is my witness how greatly I long for you with all the affection of Jesus Christ. So they're objects of genuine love. They're objects, they're products of labor. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? So they're objects of genuine love. They're products of labor. And they represent the gospel. Chapter 1, verse 27. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Paul appealed to their conscience. No gimmicks. Just the simple truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Look at verses 2 and 3. I implore Euodia, and I implore Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord, and I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Right in the middle of the message, Paul addressed a specific concern regarding relationships. What was the concern? Well, there was a conflict between two women in the fellowship. What was the problem? Well, the text doesn't say. But the issue was causing a disturbance in the body of believers. It is sad when two Christians bicker and quarrel. So help these women see that they need to be of the same mind. Notice that it's not just tolerate. It's not just a ceasefire. It's not just listen. It's not just agree to disagree. It's not just keep away from each other, but deal with the issue. Be of the same mind in the Lord. The church is not to solve its conflicts as the world does. Humility is the path. If all believers have Jesus Christ in focus, the result will be the same mind, unity. Chapter 2, verse 5. Remember, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then look at verses 4 and 5. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. How do Christians carry the aroma of Christ? One way is by rejoicing always. Why always? Because others are watching you as you walk with Jesus. They will see your faith in action. They may ask the reason for your hope. It's a believer's duty to rejoice in God, even in times of discouragement. Matthew Henry wrote, if Christians don't rejoice always, it's their own fault. How do we respond in difficult times? will reveal our true faith, whether our focus is on temporal or eternal matters. And look at verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Research on things that we worry about came out with these results. 40% of the things we worry about never happened. 30% are about the past, which can't be changed. 12% are unnecessary health concerns. And 10% are petty problems. About 8% are responsibilities that we should handle anyway. It's kind of like the husband who said to his wife, "All your worrying doesn't do any good." And the wife responded, "Well, yes, it does, because 90% of the things I worry about never happen." Why do we worry? Things in our lives get beyond our control. We can't see how they'll be resolved, so we worry. Romans 8:24 says, "For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees?" God wants us to live in the context of faith, trusting Him to bring us through concerns. Worries demonstrate, listen, a distrust of the Lord. Worry chokes out the gospel. Matthew 13:22. "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." Worry inhibits spiritual growth. Luke 10:41-42. "And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things.'" And then, and worry denies God's power. Matthew 6:25. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" So why do you worry about clothing? "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For after these things the Gentiles seek. But your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And then worry affects our testimony. Matthew 10:16. "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake." As a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of the Father who speaks in you. Instead, God wants us to live in peace of mind. Look at verse 7 again. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What is God's antidote for worry? It's to exercise constant prayer in everything. An old Jamaican proverb summarizes these verses really well. If you're going to pray, don't worry. If you're going to worry, then don't pray. You think about all that, and you have a great day.